So hello and welcome. We are coming to you from an extraordinary place in Kent. As you can see, if you're watching the video, there are people here with us. This is a very special occasion. And Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're celebrating Third Space's 21st birthday. Cottoned onto that. And as part of that, we're doing a Turning Towards Life live event with our wonderful community here. And we've just had an extraordinary moment of gathering where we are in body, we're here together, and the Turning Towards Life podcast and being in the world is being celebrated. So I'm feeling a lot and feeling very, very grateful for Justin, every source we've chosen, who we've been to one another, the things we've heard about in terms of the way that this creation has impacted people's lives. And to be joined in that today by our community in person is quite something. So I'm trusting that I can come from wherever I am and it will be okay in terms of how I'm feeling and how I'm experiencing this. And the weird thing is that you and I are in body looking at one another, feeling one another's actual bodies in person, which is really different because we're normally, you're in your shoe cupboard of an office and I'm in my shoe cupboard of an office in our houses in London. And so this is a different thing for us. If you're listening on an audio, we're all mic'd up. Probably somewhere you'll find a picture of this because people have been taking a few shots of us. Justin has created some kind of tesseract of technology where our mobile phones are involved and microphones and laptops and leads. And so this is a very special episode. It's episode 441, you said 441. We're at 8.5 years worth of you and I gathering every Sunday at 9 a.m. in amongst the general kerfuffle of our lives. And we have a source that's Justin's source today. And we're going to read it together, do as we normally do, and find our way into places that we may not understand or know what on earth is being spoken about. But somehow, as we join together and we speak, we find new territory and learn together, which I think is kind of what humans are made for in lots of ways. So thank you, Justin, for being the one who continues on and does all of the stuff to make this happen. And thank you, everybody, for being here with us. And for anybody who's listening, wherever you are so welcome to also be with us as another ring of support and participation in this thing called Turning Towards Life. Mm. Hello, Justin.
It really is wonderful to be doing this. We are, you and I, are facing one another, and then there's a big circle of people, friends, over many years who are here with us. And it's an amazing thing to be doing this live. This is our live broadcast moment, Lizzie. So very exciting, and welcome to all of you who are joining us from all over the world. And one of the things we know is that there are people on every continent who are listening or watching, and more people every week and every month. So somehow you're telling other people about this, and you're all so welcome to be here. And you are also welcome to be here, and welcome, Lizzie, and all of you who are with us out in the world. And we're going to be doing what we ordinarily do, which is we have a source by the very wonderful John O'Donohue, and we've actually this morning split the source in two. So we're going to be reading the first part of it here, you and I, Lizzie, and then everyone who's with us live is going to be doing the same thing with part two. But we'll publish both parts in the show notes and on the website so you can see them all along with the photos and all of that. So it's a piece called Thresholds, and it goes like this. A threshold is not a simple boundary. It is a frontier that divides two different territories, rhythms and atmospheres. Indeed, it is a lovely testimony to the fullness and integrity of an experience or a stage of life that it intensifies towards the end into a real frontier that cannot be crossed without the heart being passionately engaged and woken up. At this threshold, a great complexity of emotion comes alive. Confusion, fear, excitement, sadness, hope. This is one reason why such vital crossings were always clothed in ritual. It is wise in your own life to be able to recognize and acknowledge the key thresholds, to take your time, to feel all the varieties of presence that accrue there, to listen inwards with complete attention until you hear the inner voice calling you forward. The time has come to cross. To acknowledge and cross a new threshold is always a challenge. It demands courage and also a sense of trust in whatever is emerging. This becomes essential when a threshold opens suddenly in front of you, one for which you had no preparation. This could be illness, suffering, or loss. Because we are so engaged with the world, we usually forget how fragile life can be and how vulnerable we always are. It takes only a couple of seconds for a life to change irreversibly. Suddenly you stand on completely strange ground, and a new course of life has to be embraced. Especially at such times, we desperately need blessing and protection.
Thank you, Justin. So this is Thresholds by the wonderful John O'Donohue. A threshold is not a simple boundary. It is a frontier that divides two different territories, rhythms, and atmospheres. Indeed, it is a lovely testimony to the fullness and integrity of an experience or a stage of life that it intensifies toward the end into a real frontier that cannot be crossed without the heart being passionately engaged and woken up. At this threshold, a great complexity of emotion comes alive: confusion, fear, excitement, sadness, hope. This is one reason why such vital crossings were always clothed in ritual. It is wise in your own life to be able to recognize and acknowledge the key thresholds, to take your time, to feel all the varieties of presence that accrue there, to listen inwards with complete attention until you hear the inner voice calling you forward. The time has come to cross. To acknowledge and cross a new threshold is always a challenge. It demands courage and also a sense of trust in whatever is emerging. This becomes essential when a threshold opens suddenly in front of you, one for which you had no preparation. This could be illness, suffering, or loss. Because we are so engaged with the world, we usually forget how fragile life can be and how vulnerable we always are. It takes only a couple of seconds for a life to change irreversibly. Suddenly you stand on completely strange ground and a new course of life has to be embraced. Especially at such times, we desperately need blessing and protection.
This is such a powerful source. And as you've been reading this, I've been thinking about, inevitably, about thresholds in my own life. I have a very dear friend who, when our first son was born, said, keep a journal, write things down because you'll forget. And I didn't. And I've forgotten so much about it. But her advice was very wise, because what I do know about that time is it was filled with mystery and wonder and confusion and joy and panic and lostness and discovery. And of course, there's a way in which inevitably I carry that with me through into the rest of my life. But there's also a way in which attending to a moment, a period like that, intentionally, with care, looking and observing and being present in the midst of it, makes an enormous difference. And I know that I missed something there. And that was a very much longed for transition. But then there are other ones, as John O'Donohue says, that come upon us. And it seemed to me that there are the ones that he points to which come upon us in 2 seconds and we have no idea that they're coming. A sudden illness or an accident or a disappearance or a loss. And there are also the ones that happen because they happen slowly over time. And we don't recognize them as transitions unless we're paying attention until we're on the other side of them. My children grew up, those of us who have children, or I can't walk the way I used to, or I'm no longer young, or it's endless transitions. And I think that one of the costs that many of us pay is, I think a lot of us lived steeped in a wider culture that doesn't really want us to pay attention to these particularly. There's something about the way our wider culture often works that has us not pay attention to change and time as if somehow everything stayed the same. And maybe it's because it's got something to do with approaching thresholds as frightening, because we know we're going to be changed by them and we're not going to have any choice in whether we're changed by them. That's not up to us. But we try very hard to hold on and to stay the same. And so it's better in that way, theoretically, or in a defensive way, to act as if it wasn't real, to act as if it wasn't happening. And as I'm speaking, what's occurring to me is, in a new way, is really we live all of our lives in the midst of a huge mystery. We have no idea what's going to happen. We have no idea how it's going to change us. And unless, it seems to me, unless we start to take John O'Donohue's invitation seriously, we leave ourselves unprepared for ourselves and unprepared to be in relationship with one another as we go through these transitions. As long as we're determined to pretend that thresholds aren't there. And then if they're there, of course, this is the huge territory that he's inviting us into, how to respond.
As you're saying all of this, Justin, I often, when we have these sources between us, I get this sense of relief that someone's saying the things about the things that no one seems to be saying. I think sometimes I think that's why people enjoy being with us in Turning Towards Life, is we're talking about things that you can't really talked about much in the world, is what we hear from people. And so that John O'Donohue is inviting us to consider these things as thresholds. I mean, I know the piece in me that's just frightened, like you said. I'm frightened of people dying who I love. I'm frightened of becoming ill. I'm frightened of people I love becoming ill. I'm frightened of all the things. And of course, being frightened can't be the end of the story. Being frightened can't be where I stop. There has to be more, because human life is much bigger than just me being frightened. But part of being frightened, I think, is feeling like I have to go it alone or something. Like somehow frightenedness and going it alone seem to hold each other's hands or something. And at the end there, you were talking about thresholds and one another. And the big invitation for me in here, and it's partly born of this feeling of us this weekend all being together with one another, that being in the knowing that we could be thresholders, we could be this togetherness, this kind of, we could be making a world where when things happen, we reach for one another, and there's something that we all know how to do for one another when things happen. So when we were reading this and feeling, I was feeling the kind of, well, the need to take a really big breath and acknowledge that this is the nature of human life, which of course I do all the things I can to pretend is not, that's not the nature of it, and just carry on and keep things at bay. And then there's of course the moments that we consciously create to allow impermanence and our vulnerability to be here so that we can account for that in our lives in terms of the decisions that we make and the time that we spend and who we're with and what we want to create in the world. As we create those spaces consciously, it does feel like a big new possibility opens up in the world. And all of a sudden, all the ways that we deny all of this seem to be at the root of why the world is really not okay at the moment. Like something, like if we were close to this as a world, if this was a dominant narrative, that we are subject to all of this all the time, and look how precious life is, because we're on the edge of it not being this way at any moment. If that was imbued in the way that we were brought into the world, nurtured, educated, worked with when we get older, the world would be so different. And that John O'Donohue stood in a place for all of this when he probably should have been, I don't know, doing something else, according to what the world's asking of us all, is so extraordinary. And that he knew that we could be this for one another. That when something in your life happens that upends you and tips you out of the boat of normalness that you've been sailing in for so long, instead of drowning, you could reach, maybe borrow somebody else's boat for a while and hang on while we carry on rowing and you're not left in the depths on your own. But there's something to be done. Like John O'Donohue says, the ritual of things. What if I knew a ritual that I could say, in my book of potions and magic, there's a thing we could do and it might help. Shall we do it together? And if we had the safety and the intimacy between us that we could do that, how different a life might be than you just being in that dark, deep ocean for however long, relying on yourself to swim to the surface again sometime.
I love, Lizzie, what you said about John O'Donohue, and probably many people would be expecting him to do something else, but he was doing this and it's so necessary and I'm so glad he was. Now, I've got so many thoughts, Lizzie, but one of them is when we don't have good ritual for thresholds, it's very easy to treat a threshold in one of two very unhelpful ways. So one is, there's nothing to see here. It's just fine. I'm fine. My loved one just died. I lost my job. I lost my house. I became a parent. Nothing to see. You know, I got married, whatever it is. I fell in love. I fell out of love. But also without good rituals, it's also easy to occupy the other end, which is, this has never happened to anyone else ever apart from to me. This is the whole universe is conspiring against me. It's all happening to me. And we forget that all of those things are inevitable part of being human. They've all happened to someone. So I'm really taken by this idea of knowing ourselves as thresholders. And I think it's such a counter-narrative to this drama of this terrible, this is the worst thing that's happening to me, that's unimaginable that it could happen to me, and I'm the only one. Because we feel so alone in the midst of it. One of the challenges is that we live in a time when, for many of us, the rituals that have helped us have fallen away. So if you're not part of some kind of community that has a tradition of ritual around thresholds, we're very much left alone. And for some of us, finding our way into a community that has rituals is very helpful. That's what I know, but it's not the right choice for everybody. So then what do we do in a world where it's easy for us either to fall into the drama or fall into pretending that it's not happening? We've got nowhere else to stand. you were talking about reaching out to one another. Reaching out to one another is so important, but doing it well also really matters. Like, we can do it in a way that says, Lizzie, oh, you'll soon be back to you. You'll soon get back to your ordinary life. We'll make sure you get back. Or I can go drama, 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 drama and join you there. And there are much wiser responses. I'm thinking about a friend who left a very significant vocational role that he'd been in for many years in order to take up a very different path. And it was a really difficult decision to leave. And a beautiful thing happened, which was a group of friends of his made a threshold ritual for him. He didn't have to do it. And they didn't have a shared tradition to draw on. They didn't have a shared ancient wisdom. There is so much excellent ancient wisdom about this. But so they made one. And they went around to his house and they spent an evening with readings and poetry and gesture and movement and song and all kinds of things. And they made for him a ritual so that he could be a thresholder and they could be thresholders alongside him. And what I know about it is that they found a way to do it that honored the bigness of the moment and honored the mystery of it. It was neither, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to any single person, but nor was it, this is all just nothing. They helped him. They really helped him feel like a thresholder. And also to feel part of the community of being a human. Because if I'm in the middle of one of these giant thresholds and feeling very alone, and you're not, one of the things we know is that one day you will be. So it's really a matter of time shifting. It's not a matter of our aloneness in something. It's very often a matter of time, not of anything else. So we're all in this. And so I'm beginning to think as a result of this conversation about how do we make this and how do we make it locally? I don't think any of us are in a position to change the way that the whole world or a whole country or a whole city accompanies one another, but we can accompany the ones that we know and we love, which takes courage and openness and generosity and willingness to be thresholders ourselves, to be good accompaniers to the ones who are actually going through the threshold at any one time.
Somehow, Justin, it's impossible for me to not be in contact right now with the moment when I was 13 and started my periods. And I got given a sanitary towel. And that was it. And the threshold I can feel in my body now of becoming someone who bleeds and is capable of holding life in one's body got ignored with the sanitary towel. Like, what on earth have we lost? But that's what's happening. And I think that is quite common for lots of people, that big things are, as you say, oh, there's nothing to see here. And the inner world of the person for whom there's everything to see here, especially if one is not in a position of power and authority in your own life yet, just like a 13-year-old wouldn't be, it's very weird. And I'm feeling connected with that particular threshold in this moment and feeling that that threshold is not like any other, that the inner experience of the thresholding person, the crosser of the threshold, it really matters. It really matters what it's like to be the person who's in the midst of that loss or that transition or that awakening. You know, I think of some thresholds for me about awakening, and suddenly the world is like, I don't know what anything is anymore. It really matters that something happens there, that there's something, some acknowledgement of my experience of being human where nothing is the same again. How, like, if you're not with me and I'm not witnessed, how do I even know where the edges of anything are anymore. Like I need ground in it. And I think so much of the nature of thresholds is that it becomes, or like very quickly becomes unfamiliar. It's unfamiliar territory all of a sudden. And so for there to be grounding, normal things going on, like a cup of tea, you know, it's funny because I always joke with myself about a cup of tea and being English and things, but there's something just normal about a cup and some liquid and a hand on a hot thing that feels grounding, feels normal, like an everydayness or something. And somehow I'm thinking of my sister, Holly, now, Justin, who is an interfaith minister and is there with people in these thresholds of dying and of marrying and lots of other ones. And what it takes to be a good thresholder is quite something, but it's ordinary. You know, like the moment the babies are born or somebody close to us dies, it's so ordinary. It's so filled with the basics of wiping bums or wiping dribble from someone's mouth or wrapping a baby up in a blanket. It's so human. It suddenly gets so human. And so these rituals that we're speaking of and the holding and the grounding that they are feel so vital. And they're so also different to this whole inner massiveness that happens. But in order for the massiveness to be held, the grounding things really matter. The normal things really matter. So the normalness of you and your hand and you're asking me a question and you're hugging me or just being in it with me is so helpful. And we've spoken about this so many times, like when people just run, when we run from someone's grief, someone's loss, someone's trauma, someone's difficulty, someone's joy, when we run, it's deeply understandable and also doing the opposite of what we're really intending, which is probably to center the person in front of us who's going through the experience themselves. So how do we become people who are sensitive enough, grounded enough, willing enough, open enough, brave enough, courageous enough to stay and to be a cup of tea maker and to hold a hand and to ask somebody a question and to just be in it together?
I love what you just said, Lizzie, about the understandableness of our running. Of course, when we're afraid or confused or ashamed, I think all of those things come up when we face somebody else who's facing a threshold or when we're facing our own threshold. And like you said, I think that a lot of the rituals that there are, certainly in the traditions that I know, are actually rituals about ordinariness. They're not about having to have a particular belief structure or theology or something about what's going on, or even an explanation apart from here we are, as John O'Donohue says, as you said, we are inevitably the ones who will pass through thresholds in our lives. And so our running from one another is also really a running from ourselves, because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to orient to it. And like you say, the ordinary things, cup of tea, sitting next to one another and maybe saying nothing, simply being present and witness to one another's passage. And maybe there's actually a wonderful book that I think you know, Lizzie, called Ethical Loneliness. And Ethical Loneliness is a book about how we pile on difficulty to anybody who's going through difficulty by not witnessing their difficulty. It's basically a grand call to be witness to one another. So if we can get ourselves in the presence of another person who is thresholding at this time, if we can dare to do that, we might want to create together rituals for this moment. We might just want to make a cup of tea. We might just want to sit alongside. And one of the things that seems to me that's not helpful is to say to the person, oh, it's all right. This will, you know, you'll soon be back to yourself. Or, our horror at a threshold, all of that. One of the things I've learned has been very helpful, that this is really what ethical loneliness is about, has been when it's possible to say to someone who's in the middle of a threshold, simply, what's it like? How are you experiencing this moment? Because very often what we want to find a way to do is to be heard and to be witnessed. We don't really benefit very much from somebody telling us what to do. Oh, I suppose sometimes that's helpful, but I think most often in thresholds, we're starved of people who will be witness to us, who will be steady enough and present enough and unshakable enough to bear witness to the very particular person or something that's happening. There's something that's also archetypical and universal, so it can be heard. And maybe that's one of the things that any of us could do at any time, is we could be the ones who could create opportunities for being present with one another and being witness to one another, honoring the sacredness of the person and of this moment.
It's got this feeling, Justin, of all of these openings that we come into contact with, these thresholds. They are moments as well where we do reach for one another. And I always think life will have its way with us, whether we're willing participants or not. You know, we did a source once, I think it was called Being Dragged Towards Wholeness. Like, a sunflower turns to the sun naturally. You can't like twist it and keep, it will keep going. It will keep going towards the sun. And I think that's what we're like too. So I'm suddenly kind of in contact with when we really don't know what to do. And you and I both know through working with people in moments of threshold, the threshold being the size that it is, has people pick up the phone or send an email. So I need some help. I don't know what to do. What do I do? Help me. Somebody do something. I don't know. I'm lost now. I'm done. I played all my cards. What now? And in our work, we would call those things openings. And so I'm feeling really faithful now that life has us do that a lot of the time. And I also know the parts of me that go underground when things are hard too. But if we could be ever more normalizing of picking up the phone, sending an email, asking somebody for something, that all these thresholds could be openings for connection. They could be reasons to reach out, occasions to reach out, which feels very normal to me. Like, yes, of course, that's what we would do. But our world has gone a bit bonkers and strange. And maybe this used to be. I don't know. I've only lived in this 45-year-old's body. But that maybe the world, it is changing. You know, there's a room full of people here with us now for whom maybe, you know, we all turned a little bit less towards life 3 years ago than we did, than we are today. And of course, I can feel all the parts of me that thinks, no, the world's in really dire straits. But I think it really matters that conversation by conversation, podcast episode by podcast episode, person by person, conversation by conversation, it doesn't matter how small it is, because it just always matters that we keep building a world that we know that we can all belong in.
Well, I'm very taken by the idea of this spirituality of the everyday, Lizzie. The place that we that there's actually a place where we can make a difference to the world, and that is right in the places where the people we know, the people who we are in relationship with, and the people we come into relationship with. We can't change the big scale of the world, but this is also changing the big scale of the world in this regard. And I'm thinking as we finish about people I know in my life who right now are in the midst of very big apparent thresholds, and this conversation will, it's tenderizing and softening and opening and courage making and love growing in responding to them. And I'm also thinking about the fact that we're all in the middle of thresholds all the time, and we often just don't know. We don't know the threshold we're in the middle of when we're in it. So it's excellent to be a thresholder alongside you, and a thresholder alongside everyone who's watching and listening, and a thresholder alongside this wonderful group of people who are sitting around us as we talk. It's an amazing thing to do this here in the midst of community, which is different from being in our little shoebox offices and Zoom. So what a joy. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everybody who's here with us. Thank you, all of you who are listening and watching whenever and wherever it is that you're listening and watching. And next week, we'll probably be back in our shoebox offices, but there might be something of me that's wishing we could do this every week. Although we might have to wait, Lizzie, a little while before we do this in this way again. And thank you, everyone. We're going to draw this conversation to a close. We'll see you soon.